Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, it's Pat. I'm going to do my Duplex show again. It is a solo show. Thank you. I will have a dear friend opening up for me. I don't know who yet. It's what you would call TBD. But it's going to be on February 4th at 9:30 p.m. at the Duplex. And it is a Monday. And yes, Mondays are for the freaks. So if you're a freak, come on out. You can get tickets in my Insta bio. I would love to see you.
Hey, you guys, we're doing a live podcast, bitch, at the Bell House, January 11th at 10 p.m.
We don't know what's going to happen on it yet, but we know it's absolutely going to be explosive, and we're absolutely both going to be there.
You have to absolutely come. It's going to be at the Bell House, which is obviously in Gowanus, which is obviously in Brooklyn, New York. So if you live even close at all, you must get a ticket. Bring your friends. We're going to party afterwards and absolutely get wrecked.
I seriously, I'm going to lose my fucking mind at this show.
You're going to laugh and love.
Live, laugh, love, and of course, even have fun.
So get tickets to our live podcast show, which is called Us at the Bell House at January 11th
at 10 p.m. We have no idea how to get tickets, but absolutely find them somehow.
Go online, you stupid, stupid bitch.
Our Instagrams might be tools for you. We don't know if what we post is helpful.
Feel free to use our Instagrams. That's perfectly natural. It's a normal thing to do. There's nothing wrong with you for using our Instagrams to get tickets.
Okay.
Okay, we have to go. Bye.
Forever Dog.
Fucking dating and love. Seek treatment. If you're boring as fuck, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment.
With Kat and Pat.
Hey, it's Kat.
And Pat.
And this is Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys, sex, fucking, dating, and love.
Oh my God. Love does win.
Does it?
It wins.
Mijo.
Quite frequently. Quite frequently, love wins, has won, and will always win.
We are coming off a very loving evening because we had an absolutely gorgeous dinner last night at Joanne Trattoria.
Exactly.
Lady Gaga's parents' restaurant.
Yeah, that whole night to me, it felt like an episode of Real Housewives.
We're on the Upper West Side. Mm-hmm. There's a fireplace. We're in sort of like a covered backyard area, which I was obsessed with.
I felt like I was at Sir, which is Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant.
I've been.
You've been? Oh, congrats.
Weird, right?
That's huge.
Because I don't really care about that, but I've been. The cocktails were absolutely massive. The portions were huge.
Yeah. Oh, for me, my experience around the portions were that they were like moderate.
Mine were that they were huge.
Interesting. I don't know.
And that's the one difference between us.
Yeah. Is that we have different perceptions of portions.
Yeah. And we just had like a really lovely sort of cozy evening. It was raining. And now we're sitting by this candle, which I have to talk about to the listeners. The candle that we've been set up with, and I'm not angry.
And we are sitting near this candle.
I'm not upset. But the candle is called, the flavor, the scent.
I think flavor is fine.
Thank you. Is pumpkin nutmeg pie. And I have so many thoughts on this, and it's going to be fucking hilarious when I absolutely destroy this candle. I heard a pumpkin pie.
Okay.
And I heard a nutmeg. Why do you need to put it in?
So I don't know what nutmeg is.
It's a spice.
One time when I was little, I threw up pumpkin pie all over a table.
And you are so fucking reckless.
Yeah, I'm so random. And since then, I'm like, I'm not going to let that toxicity into my life again.
Yeah.
But also, I don't like candles. I think, can we as a culture get over candles?
Here's the thing, and I'm coming at this from a totally different angle.
Okay, so that's what makes the conversation beautiful.
I love candles, but not a food-scented candle.
Oh, for me, that's the only kind of candle I kind of get.
Are you serious? I want like sort of like tobacco and sage smoked rust.
My thing around candles, it's like, okay, when I was little, when we were selling our house, we always had to like light candles that smelled like cookies and stuff and like bake cookies in our mm-hmm. house because you're supposed to when you're selling a house so it smells good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can we not like put on airs for these people? Like, why can't they just come in and embrace our family scent?
What is your family scent?
I don't know because you.
I'm terrified to know.
It's impossible to know your family scent. And you know, when you were little, you would go over different people's houses and be like,
I know, I think we talked about this literally yesterday morning.
Was it on the pod?
Yeah.
Okay, edit this out.
So embarrassing. Mariah.
That's actually humiliating.
Mariah, hack the mainframe.
How are you? How's your morning?
My stomach is growling, but I'm not hungry.
Wow, interesting.
I know. I have something to say.
What?
And I just want to put this out.
Yeah, put it on
the
universe.
I just want to put this out into the community, the podcast.
Manifest it.
I don't care who you are to me.
Uh-huh.
And you know where I'm going with this?
Uh-huh.
It's almost funny. If you wait a full day to respond to my text message, you're going to need treatment.
It's not okay.
You need to seek treatment.
I
don't
ASAP.
Care. Or if you do, just say, oh, even just lie. Just say, just seeing this.
Yeah.
I'm
a queen of just seeing this. I'm always just seeing things. I'm like, I just saw this. But also, I'm famously, and it's been well documented, have trouble replying and answering emails, texts, even Facebook messages. But when someone does that to me, I'm like, okay, I'm living in with a disorder.
It's,
like you, yeah. And for you to not answer me when you're kind of like a functional human in the world, it's like that's kind of taking away from my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's hurtful and damaging to me and to my family.
Exactly. So I just want to put out there, you know, be prompt.
Totally.
Respect my time and end. You know, I don't have a lot of it, okay?
Mm.
I'm very busy doing a morning podcast for free.
Sorry, I'm late.
Oh my God.
Oh, no. This isn't about
that.
Yeah,
I'm absolutely furious. As I said, I have literally nothing going on.
My experience on you being late was I was like 1 minute less late than you. And so
it was actually perfect.
Yeah, it was actually perfect. That's why I love when others are late because it just lets us all off the hook.
Yeah. No, I felt very calm because I had to sort of catch up with Mariah, etc. And my other thing that's going on with me is that I might go to the gym later.
I'm going to go to the gym later. But we go to different gyms, and that's kind of the Romeo and Juliet of our time.
I know.
I'm blank your Equinox, which is truly like a classist.
Who's
like,
Mercutio?
As me being a gay man who goes to blank and you being a straight woman going to Equinox, we are the Jack and Rose of our time, living on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel, at least. Didn't really get a booming response from you, but that's fine.
I was still thinking about Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
But
that's fine.
Okay.
Are you gonna ask me how I am?
I'm sorry. I'm actually thinking so much about myself today, which is really new for me.
No, it's fine. No, I don't mind asking me
how I am. No, Pat. Listeners deserve to know. How are you?
Yeah, I'm living in Astoria this week.
That is the saddest sentence I've ever heard.
Stop. And 65 minutes. That's the amount of time I allotted to get here. And it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Now I've heard everything. If you're in the same city as something,
mm.
And it takes you 65 minutes to get there.
You're not in the same city.
You're not in the same city as that thing. You know what I mean?
Wait, you know what's sad that I forgot to plug? I have to drive to the Berkshires on Thursday morning.
You're plugging your drive to the Berkshires.
Please, guys, check out my drive. I'll be going from Harlem all the way to the Berkshires to Pittsfield, MA. I'm doing a show up there and I absolutely, well, I shouldn't say this, but I absolutely know no one's going to be there. It's going to snow.
Wait, it's going to snow in the Berkshires?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you being real?
Yeah.
How do you know? Does it always snow in the Berkshires?
No, it's going to snow in New York. I mean, I looked at my thing.
Oh my God. Wait, but it's, oh wow, okay. I wasn't ready for that.
It's supposed to snow on Thursday. There's a little asterisk.
Okay, so by the time this comes out, it will have already snowed several weeks ago.
And we'll have to deal with that.
Yeah, for sure.
And anyways, I'm dreading that. But you know what I'm not dreading?
Bringing in our guest.
Bringing in our ghost. She's slowly sipping coffee. Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Will she put the headphones on?
Okay.
Changing her tune.
It made you feel unsafe or something.
Oh, my God.
But I was just being playful. Okay. When I'm being playful.
We need to bring her in.
We need to bring her in.
Oh, she's so funny. Such a delight. So fantastic. Put your ears open for Rachel Feinstein.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to the mix.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
How are you?
Well, I'm delightful since I've arrived. because everybody's been really nice to me and nobody shamed me about being late.
No, we don't do that here. We don't do
coffee.
That here.
It feels like a very safe space. Mm-hmm. I was going to go rogue and not use the headphones, but I put them on. And so I feel grounded. I don't know. Ask
was,
me something.
Was the choice not to wear headphones, and I don't want to belabor it, was it an aesthetic thing or was it like a sensory situation?
I was having trouble adjusting them.
Yeah. Oh. It was pragmatism.
That's great.
So it was pragmatism, which is important.
She figured it out. Where do you live?
I live in Greenpoint.
Oh my God. Also a trek.
Not really, because it's G.
I took a cab.
Cool.
You have to.
I was going to take it. You want to hear this?
What?
So when I'm having my nightmare of getting from Astoria to here, I obviously check in with Uber just to see where they're at. And right. It would have taken $50 mm-hmm. Uber ride. It was in the fives.
Yeah.
Fully, not like 48. It would have been over $50.
Jesus.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And it couldn't do that. It couldn't do that right now.
It's really sad. Are you always cabbing, Rach? Are you
obsessed? Yeah, I waste all my money on like cabs and lifts. And I have such deep shame. Yeah,
yeah.
It's
not, but you're out late at night. You're doing shows. You're all about town.
Yeah, but I mean, who do I think I am? Like sometimes it'll be like a $30 spot, and I chariot myself.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm such a dick.
I fully think I'm a Rockefeller when it comes to Uber. I'll just like I don't notice I'm spending it, and I won't. I mean, it gets to be a point.
There's no receipts. There's no cash.
I almost took an Uber last night, but then I didn't, which I'm like still to this moment proud of myself for. But I
Bowen and I split.
Sometimes I'm like, I don't drink. So I'm like, well, I end up spending more money because like, the amount of things I buy with the excuse of like, I'm not spending money on alcohol is truly insane. Mm-hmm. But then I won't buy things like clothes or like important things.
As you know, every single Wednesday after my Wednesday show, which I take the most expensive cab home. It's like $45. And every time I go over the bridge, I'm just like shivering, being like, I deserve this. Do I?
I think so. I think an Uber is self-care.
I do feel like that too. I'm like, I'm worth it.
I know. You know what?
Wait, I actually have a question. Is Uber bad?
I think it was bad, and then maybe it became unbad. Right now, I'm taking Lyft because somebody told me not to take Uber a while ago. But,
yeah.
I'm still not thinking for myself is the important thing.
Oh, no. I have – my opinions are I'm shaking my hands around. They're so flimsy. Like, anyone – a gust of wind could flip me in the entirely different direction. Like, I truly don't believe in anything.
Absolutely. That's important. Rach, what are your – stats? Are you single? Are
no,
you?
No, she just.
I just got married. Like
I know,
a month
but
ago.
Off the pod.
Oh, sorry, a month ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Freshly married.
Congrats.
What kind of wedding?
Thanks.
Big.
It was a big wedding, but like there wasn't any like lady details because I don't know anything about like that kind of woman stuff. It was just a lot of people. And
yeah.
It was a bunch of firemen and comedians because he's a fireman. So.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry, we're gonna have to go take cold showers. That is insane. You married a fireman?
What?
I did, yeah.
A fireman and a comedian.
Okay. He's a captain now. Different.
That's wow. The hottest combo I've ever heard. So
there's a new show on
I need to know. Okay. You need to stop.
Okay, but it's gonna be a spinoff of Grey's. I'm gonna talk about a spinoff of Grey's.
You have 1 minute.
Okay, there's a spinoff of Grey's about a fireman, and they always do crossovers, but I don't watch the fireman show.
That's fucking awesome. Thank you for raising your voice, and I'm so glad I have a platform to give you that.
My voice needs to be amplified.
You need to stop. I need to know everything about how you met.
Yeah.
We were set up because my friend is...
was in a fire.
It was an active fire. Yeah, my friend was on fire. She's very dead now, but thank God she was lit on fire.
That'd be such a fun way to set two people up, like to set yourself on fire when you're with, to self-ameliorate or whatever it's called when you're with your cute friend because you have it, and then text your firefighter guy friend.
I almost set our apartment on fire recently because I left the gas on and...
My
he was on
beer.
The truck. He was on like the rig, as they call it.
Oh my God. Oh.
He's like, needless to say, for all the, like, please be careful. And I was like, but I'm,
it's
I just,
hard to
it's,
remember
it's
things.
Confusing.
I'm not
but,
nanny right
we
now.
We were set up because,
wait, 1 second. I'm a nanny.
Stop.
Right. No, stop.
I can't believe you're interrupting her to say that you're a nanny.
No, because I live in constant fear because I have to cook dinner in the afternoon and then
no,
come
I was
back.
A nanny for many years. I know. It's
and
scary.
I at all times, I'm like at the park convinced that I left the oven on. I'm like, I don't remember turning it off. And like truly every day, I'm like, having a full heart palpitation, walking with the kids back to the apartment, just kind of gently reminding them that, like, everything is just things and everything's replaceable, and, like, expecting there to be, like, a full, like, open flame when we get back. And there hasn't been yet. But it's hard to remember
it's
to turn
things
off.
It's very scary. I just don't cook now because I can't be relied upon to turn things off. That's too much. Mm. And they cook, all firemen cook all, a lot because they have to cook for the firehouse. So they're all big cooks anyway. So, but,
okay, so I'm
no one
drooling.
No one talks about that firemen all
are good chefs. Yeah,
they all cook, yeah, because they have to cook when they're what's called probies. It's like a new fireman, so they have to cook for the whole house for years. So they're all good with knives, and they have to cook for, like, they can cook for large quantities of people, and they cook. He cooks all the time, but yeah, we were set up because my friend is dating a retired fireman, and so she's a lot older than me, and then her husband is a lot older than her. So his son he had when he was like 20 is like around our age. Uh-huh. So my therapist told me that I had to ask somebody to set me up every week. And I'm like, no, my God. You know, I'm like,
Wait, come on, amazing.
Alan.
Every week asking someone to set you up.
She just asks someone, even if they don't know anyone.
That's really humbling.
He gave me this assignment. So he always gives me assignments. And I'm like, come on, Alan. No one knows anyone. I feel dumb asking. So I asked my friend, and she's like, she talks like this. You need to be with a fireman, sweetie. That's the answer. Yes. They're like, oh, I love it. They're fun. They don't give a shit, sweetie.
Oh my God.
And firemen are like comics because we like live in these weird worlds. And, you know, when a regular person walks up, they call them a civilian and we do the same thing.
Oh,
you know what
God.
I mean? Like, and they have these weird lives that nobody else really understands. Yeah. And they ask them like the same kinds of dumb questions. You know, people always ask firemen like the cat and then, you know what I mean?
Like, I am like that person. I am that person.
But I ask all the other ones too. But, you know, I feel like you would ask it still in a fun, interesting way.
Yeah, kind of a self-aware, like hilarious
way that ended up in us getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's delightful. Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
But so anyway, she was like, can you be a fireman? So she texted her stepson and she said, do you know anybody for Rachel? And the weird thing is, we were at the steakhouse when we were trying to pick up guys. It was really real sadness to all
where,
of us.
Where are
we
you?
We went to Keene Steakhouse because somebody told me you have to go to a steakhouse. That's where you can meet a guy.
That's very 90s.
I know. I love how like in the past this feels.
I know. It's really, well, that's the thing. Right. That's the thing is like, I don't know. And she was like a little older and she's the kind of woman that would like, pass a man some matches or something.
Yeah,
I want to be a
woman of a certain age in the 90s.
I know,
that's
same.
What I wish I was.
Same, and it's sad that we're
yeah,
here.
Like she would give a man a matchbook and just like slink out or something.
God, oh my that's God, a, that's so hot.
Giving a man a matchbook is a lost art form that we've lost to app culture and to.
I just tore my phone in half with one hand.
Me and Catherine are throwing out our phones at others and buying matchbooks.
It's so ridiculous. I can't do something. But she texted her son, and then the crazy thing was that he sent back two fireman options within 5 minutes. I'm like,
what?
How do you have fireman options ready
on
his phone?
Oh my God.
He's like, how about this guy? And it was like some guy's Facebook picture, and he looked like a fool. Uh-huh. And then she sent back my husband, who it was kind of a hysterical picture. He was like, he was kind of making muscles on the beach, but he like kind of ironically like just being stupid. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But not,
you know what
totally
I mean?
Respect.
Walking that line between hot and funny.
Right? But I was like, I thought he was really hot. But I was like, oh, it'll be a complete tool. Like, he just looked like the kind of guy that would be worth like, a douche, but aggressively hot.
Yeah.
So, and then, he's like, I'm going to set it up. So Pete told me that he called him and said, do you want to meet a, this is such an insulting description, a semi-famous Jewish comedian?
Oh,
that was a description. It's really insulting. And then also he hears the name.
Help drag her.
And then he hears the name Rachel Feinstein, which is just such a heinous name. And I feel like it's cock-blocked me my whole life. So he's probably like, I'm going to need to see some pictures. I need to view like 70 photos Jewish before I'm comfortable meeting this girl. So then we showed up at this like Christmas party. Yeah. Like fireman Christmas party.
Oh, I used to go to those because my uncle was a fireman.
Really?
And Santa would come and,
yeah, there's a Santa. Gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always a Santa and he's usually a shit faced retired fireman.
Yeah.
And, is it a daytime thing?
See my cousin.
It was nighttime at a bar, but I know
ours
the ones
was at the firehouse. This,
there's ones at the firehouse too. And there's always a Santa. Yeah. But we go to those now too. Now that
is it that one in Greenpoint by that distillery?
No, he works in the third division, which is in Manhattan from like Midtown to Harlem, east to west.
Oh
but,
my God, like the real
so
deal.
So he jumps around to different firehouses because when they're promoted to captain, there's not always an open captain position. So they just fill in for captains all around the city. So he's always at a different firehouse.
So he's a sub captain.
Yeah. Cool. So, and he probably, by the time he's a chief, he probably won't even have had a house. You know, like he'll just always go to different houses.
Yeah.
Which is like a little nerve wracking because I'll be like, oh, there's a bomb scare in Midtown. Are you there? And usually he's there. He's like, yeah, I am here, you know.
Oh my God.
So It's a lot of shit.
On Grey's Anatomy, Bailey, who's married to the firefighter, is sparking the spinoff.
Yeah, let's get it back there.
Thank you.
It's going to come back. It's always stressed out. It's a major storyline that Bailey has to go on a juice cleanse this season because she's so, because her health is bad, because she's so stressed out that her firefighter husband like isn't going to be okay.
It's actually amazing that you know I don't care about Grey's Anatomy. And it's pretty clear that Rachel doesn't watch it either. And yet you insist on me. Sort of flipping
it. Now, this time circling back is going to be like really worth it.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Look at me.
Specific.
Amplify my voice. Hold my voice up and spread my word.
Yes. Okay. Right. Starting a call.
No, I am very apologetic for who I am and what I've just done. And I don't want to.
No, it is. It's. I don't worry that much because I'm not like a. Where if I start to think about it, I do. Yeah. But now I'm like used to it. But
so you're at the Christmas party.
Yes, that's what he's been told about me. He came to the Christmas party. He started saying a lot of Yiddish to me. So he was like, I thought he was really cute, but like a little dopey, a little corny at first.
Yeah. Was he doing Yiddish to be kind of a fun bit? Or was he like, this is what she gets?
Because I was Jewish, that it would be impressive that he knew Yiddish. So he said he's like studied some Yiddish.
Cute.
He's not Jewish, to be clear.
No.
That's earnest.
So Peter Brennan. So he was like, oh, Oy Gewalt is a thing. Like, and he kept saying, and I'm like, I speak English. Like, you definitely don't need to do this at all.
Well, it's almost not his fault. It's the person who described you as a Jewish semi.
Yes, really insulting description. And also, I think that he was thinking about all the Jews that they would go to when he was a fireman in Brooklyn. Most of his career was in Brooklyn.
Right.
And he would go to the Hasidic Jewish. And I was like, we're different. Like, they don't even acknowledge us as Jews.
Right,
whatever.
Right.
And I'm not even religious, so we can let go of all this Yiddish. Because I was learning a tremendous amount of Yiddish, really, on her.
Exactly.
I don't know
he taught
what
you.
Most of these words mean.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so sometimes cultural kind of appropriation can actually end up teaching the other culture more about their culture.
And
you
beautiful.
Actually can be giving that lesson to someone on their culture by appropriating
it. Screaming at them at a Christmas party. Okay.
And that's why I wear a kimono everywhere I go.
Oh, my God. Take it off.
Take it off. I will teach.
So he comes at you.
Yes.
He's talking. You're like,
I thought he was really hot, but I thought like he was a little like the Yiddish thing was a little derailing. Right. But then towards the end of the night, this like kind of homelish man walked in the bar. Like he wasn't, I don't know if he was fully home, but something was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind of like roaming around the bar and he kept getting kicked out and then he would come back in again. And that always.
He was like me doing my Grey's Anatomy story.
Exactly.
I just couldn't take a hint.
I love how you brought it back. If you could just for a moment revisit this thing that's not really served me well, but I think it's time we circle back and hunker down with the Grey's Anatomy plot.
Oh my God.
But I think it's always really funny when people get kicked out of places and come back in again. It's always made me laugh. It's so simple, but it's hilarious when they return through like a variety of entrances and they're like, me again. And since I was a kid, I think it's one of the funniest things in the world. So he just kept being told repeatedly to leave the bar.
No,
and he was a real prophet.
No.
He's like, put it back. And this is where he kind of got me, whereas I kept acting like he was his father. And I'm like, he wants a relationship with you. And like, whatever that relationship is post-incarceration, that's for you guys to weave together. That's your quilt to weave together. But he's reaching out. Like, so don't just act like he doesn't exist. And it was very satisfying that he
so
didn't
funny.
Really miss. Like, he was like, you're right, but I'm angry. I'm furious in a way. I hate, you know, but he just knew right away what we were doing. And that was made him pretty satisfying. And then later on, he texted me, like, I talked to my dad. You'll be happy. Like, and he was like, I can't say it was a good conversation. He was like, it was ugly, but it needed to happen. And it's a stepping stone. So like he right away kind of understood.
He's funny.
Yeah,
he's playful. He's silly. You know, he's like just ridiculous. Well, they're all like that. They're like children.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
You're painting a very horny picture. Of
oh, my God. I went by the firehouse the other night. Some of them
is it all true?
That's
my question to you.
So
is it all true?
Fucking hot. I went by to bring wings for him. But then I was like, I walked up to the house and it was on Halloween and there was all these guys outside. One of them, one of the most attractive men I've ever really seen in my life.
That's so special.
And so they're all outside. He's upstairs because he's like their
he's
boss.
In charge.
Yeah, which is pretty hot. Yeah. And they're outside and one of them.
And they're like, boss's wife with the wings.
I know. I'm like so turned on. I'm like,
I know.
I am sweating buckets.
Really difficult. And then I disagree with all of them politically, so I want to like yell at them, but I'm actively aroused by them at the same time. Yeah. So it's a really confusing sensation because I want to like school them and like sit them down, but I'm also like, yes, yeah, slowly
tell
bending
me what
over.
To do.
It's very, very confusing. So I walk up the block and they're all standing outside. And then like one of them was like, I mean, I'm like, you're preposterous. Like, you're, how are you not like just a celebrity in itself for looking like these blue eyes that were like insane and this body just again, absurd. And so I walked up to them. They're all standing outside the firehouse and they kind of like look at girls as they're walking by. So I just walked up to them and it was Halloween. And I was like, it's really scary out there, boys. I wonder if I could just take shelter for an hour. They don't know that I was with, you know, Pete, because he's just working there that night.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, it just doesn't feel safe out there, guys. Like, can I duck in? There's so many drunken morons.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, yeah, sure. I guess they all have this accent.
I know. Do they all talk like that?
Oh, they all have this accent, like, that's so I talk about it on stage, but they'll give a toast and it all sounds like the same toast. Like, I love you guys more than anything in the world. You're not just my friends. You're my family. It sounds like a threat, even when they're saying something beautiful. Like, I love you guys. This is a brotherhood, you know?
I'm, like, worried for Pat now because he's seriously going to be, gonna, like really addicted to this.
I know. I'm addicted to this. But it's so it is crazy, like, this experience you're talking about of seeing, like, the hottest person ever, just like in the common world.
I know, it's very confusing.
I'm like, this is going to be a controversial take. I'm like, do we as a society celebrate hot people enough?
Yeah, that's the problem.
I feel like we're not focused
on letting them out in the street. We're letting society. Them save. We're letting them into fires. This should be. What's wrong? There's no place for a hot person.
Get this man into a museum or something.
When we first started dating, I got locked inside my apartment, like, because the door wasn't working properly for the inside, like the inside lock, whatever. Yeah. It's so profoundly stupid.
No, that's me.
He's like, I'll send over some guys. And in 2 minutes,
no.
I swear to God, he sent over 5 firemen that crashed the whole door down. One of them looked like JFK Jr. I was like, I can't manage.
Oh, man. This is crazy.
I need to see pictures of JFK Jr. because he's such a go-to, this is a hot person.
Yeah. I mean, he's
pictures
he's beautiful.
Of the firefighters.
I'll show you.
Okay, it's a given that I need pictures of that.
I know. You need to stop. I'm worried about you. Okay. I need to know. How was the first hookup? Did you absolutely die?
Okay, so the first time we hooked...
By the time you like his personality, too. And
our second date, by the time we went out, like, we went out that a few days after that Christmas party where we were set up, and I was like, I would have... Like, I just, like, loved him right away.
Are you an instant, like, an instant... Not usually.
I know how I feel, but I never really talked about, like, marrying anybody, but I was like, I don't think he's like that. I think he's more just, like, get in the moment or whatever, you know? Like, he doesn't have a lot of extra thoughts happening. Yeah.
He's like a nice, a good person.
He's pretty much like, he won't say anything if he doesn't mean it. Like, he's just kind of like...
Oh, my God.
Where is he from?
He grew up in Brooklyn in, like, Midwood. Okay, he has, like, a pretty thick New York accent. But we went at the end of the date. He was trying to get me to come over, but I was like, we can just cuddle. And he was really cute about it. Like, he protected me from his erection all night. He kind of tried to push it away,
That's kind.
But yeah, we made out like all night, but he was like, anybody obeyed my Christian sleepover rules. I was like,
oh my
God,
I'm very impressed with you.
Yeah, he was really good about it. And then in the morning,
semi-famous Jewish comedian with Christian sleepover rules.
Name of app.
And then in the morning when I got up and I'm walking around his apartment. You know, when you're like in a guy's apartment, you're like, am I ever going to see him? Like, I'm looking at all his pictures and his family. And I'm like,
it's so
is this
weird.
Guy an asshole? Is he not? Is he going to call me?
And where was this apartment?
In Greenpoint, the one I live in now. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And okay. I'm like walking around looking at all that. And I'm just like, well, I hear from him again. His body is like absurd. I can't manage it. But it kind of is like, I want to have the body. Like, I want to bring the treats to the hookup. I feel like he brings the treats.
There is safety in bringing the treats. You bring the treats.
No, you bring the treats.
You
bring the
see
treats.
Him, you're like,
it's okay to both bring the treats.
That's perfectly fine.
I guess so. But I think it's because I mean, honestly, I think I could be funny, but I couldn't, whatever. And the other treats, another girl I'm sure that he was seeing before him, whoever he dated before me, I'm like, I'm sure they had like bigger treat, but whatever.
Yeah.
Forget the treat.
No, I know what you mean. Sometimes when you're
that was my angle. Yeah. That's what I had.
Sometimes you start to write in your head. When you're hooking up with a really hot person, you start to write in your head the kind of people they typically hook up with.
Oh, always.
Scary.
I was thinking that. I was like,
I always picture like tiny blonde, big tit girls with holding pies. I'm always like, that's what they date. And they're like so shy. Pies. Yeah. And they're like so shy. And I'm like literally I'll be all day. I'm like, I know you don't date girls like me. He's like, how do you know that? I'm like, because there's no one like this.
Wait, one time I hooked up the girl. I said this on the podcast. This is a funny story, but people always think it's a sad story, but it's a funny story. When I was hooking up with a really hot guy from Grindr, and he kept saying during the hookup, do guys like me normally hook up with you?
I know.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, you've said that before. It's really sad.
Okay, cool.
But that's fucked up, though.
I know.
But,
yeah, I was fucked up. I was super high and, like, I didn't care.
And he was getting off on some weird power play.
He was getting off on some weird power play.
Oh, power play. Fuck you. I hate that shit.
And you're sure it's not that he was saying that as a compliment to you?
Yeah. I'm sure.
It was clear. You know, I was there. Cheer with pom-poms.
Yay!
This never happens for us. This doesn't normally happen to people like us.
Should I stop telling that story? Is it too sad or is it funny?
I think it's interesting also because somebody
have to tell multiple times
insulted.
In your podcast. People are crazy.
People have been insulted in weird, specific, highly specific ways, yeah. And I think it helps them realize like that there's just deranged, wild assholes out there.
Yeah.
Like I'm so haunted by an eighth grade. This guy walked me home from school, and he told me that. He's like, how come like the space on your thighs is like really big, but then the rest of your thighs is normal? He's like, it doesn't match the rest of your body. And he was like, it's too big.
It's
how
not matching.
Come? Not just this is what I think
how
of you.
Come?
You answer for this weirdly specific insult that will terrorize you for your whole life.
That's insane.
He was like, how come your top of your thighs are like that? Go ahead. Your thesis should follow this.
In this essay, I will prove.
That's so traumatic.
I know. And I still think about it every time I look in the mirror. I think about that gentle walk with Wesley Tibbs where there was like foliage around. It should have been like a lovely morning, but he was telling me that he wanted answers for me to answer for my body in this deranged state. Yeah,
that's wild.
That's
he's like, why are you specifically mangled? Why?
And I'm just a reporter who wants answers. I'm doing a piece for
the New
Yorker.
He's wearing a newsboy cap.
One more question. Why the fuck are your thighs like that?
That happened to me at the deli shoot. That's happened to me many times where people first insult and then want me to answer for their insult.
I think they're negging you.
The deli, the guy
was like, why you have this thing in your face? Why you have these pimples in your face?
Wait, what?
He was like, you don't take vegetable? And I'm like, I take vegetable. And I take water. I just have some zits. And he's like, no, you don't take vegetable. Why you have this? You don't take vegetable. You shouldn't have this thing in your face.
We need to start believing women when they say they take vegetable. Can I say that?
No. That is so fucked up.
That's fucked up.
I'm like, I take vegetable. I take water. He's like, you don't take. I'm like, I take water.
I take it all.
I hate having conversations.
I hate conversations too.
I know, me too.
It's like, stop.
I know. When someone has to have a conversation with me, I'm like, truly seek treatment.
Oh my God.
It's
I'm
acutely
frustrated.
Painful. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm in a place today where I really am just like annoyed.
From the text situation.
No, cut that out. Yes.
I'm in
why.
A good place text wise. I like woke up to text.
I know. Oh, wait, so you're married. Like, what is that?
That's a foolish thing. I'm like, who the hell have you been
in? I have a question. How many times have you been in love before you got married?
I mean, I don't know, like at least a handful. I mean, yeah, I would say 4 or 5. I mean, I've lived with guys. I've fled people's houses in the middle of the night, like, you know, like wild living situations where I've had to garbage bag all my things and like flee.
Oh my God.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah. I thought, yeah, definitely. I'd probably say probably at least 4 or 5 times.
I've never been in love.
I'm in love every day.
I've never been in love.
I'm always in love.
I've never been in love, but I'm also in love every day.
Oh, sorry, to like my thing. Today, my thing.
No, like real love.
Why are you sobbing?
Whatever.
Real love, I don't know what it is. No, I do.
There's no one answer. Just
I know.
Zola, the wedding company that will do anything for love, is reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moments in couples' lives even happier. From engagement to wedding and decorating your first home, Zola is there, combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love.
Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register. Join 500,000 couples who have used Zola literally. Zola takes the stress out of wedding planning with free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save-the-dates and invitations, and easy-to-use planning tools for your planning tool bag.
Start with a free wedding website. It's so easy and takes just minutes to set up. Over 100 beautiful wedding website designs to choose from to fit any couple's style and every type of wedding.
Then, after that, build your dream registry at Zola. Zola makes registering for newlywed life so easy. The Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. There's something for even every guest to give.
You can also create a fund for your honeymoon, future home, new puppy, or anything you want. Plus, register for gift cards to your favorite brands like Delta, Southwest, Hulu, Home Depot, and more. To start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/seek treatment. That's zola.com/seek treatment. zola.com/seek treatment.
You're very casual about everything. Are you like a relaxed person? I can't tell.
Yeah, you like stumbled.
I'm like, why are you?
Accidentally...
No, I'm just like half asleep.
Wearing... She's like wearing flannel. She's like a beach wave.
Do you feel it's
like,
violent that this is at 10 a.m.? Do you feel it's violent that this is at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, a lot of that was tough that's for me, so I'm kind of half asleep.
And you know it's tough for
it's
us,
tough
too.
For, we don't like
know
it
why,
either.
We don't know why this happened, yeah.
Are you working today?
No, I'm
are
off.
You serious?
You know that I'm off all week because my family died at 90% in the Cayman Islands, and it's not clear if I'm getting paid.
Wait, so are you free Thursday?
I'm gonna go to Long Island on Thursday, but why?
We'll talk. Anyways,
all right, my whole point is,
I'm actually.
It feels like you if you're very casual, it feels like you like accidentally ended up in this marriage to a hot firefighter.
I know,
boss. Like
that you like had. Where'd you get
that?
Wings?
Would never happen to me. I would never be accidentally married to a hot firefighter. I would be accidentally like. I would be accidentally
like trapped under IKEA furniture.
That's my version of your life.
No, I knew he was gonna propose, but I didn't know when. So I was in this wild state of like waiting. I was like looking for rings. My salad, like
wow, you were that. You
how long
that,
did you been
you
together
that
for
person.
The propose?
A little over a year, but we like talked about it. But I knew it was going to happen, but I didn't know when.
Oh my god!
So I was just like wildly waiting.
Did he put a ring in
panics.
Salad eventually?
He never did put a ring in salad. But I thought
chopped.
I saw it in my salad a couple
are you serious?
Times.
Oh my god!
I was like reading planes that went by. I'm like, does that say Willie Mary?
No, oh
I was like
god.
Delta bitch, relax. but then my friend asked me to dinner, and then he showed up instead. And then, but it was like a Tuesday night and it was like a packed restaurant. So as soon as he came in, I knew that was going to happen. But his place called Monty's on McDougal. And so he walked, it was like a little Italian restaurant, but it was like really crowded. And he was wearing like a big puffy coat. So he was like having to go through everyone. And then he gets down on one knee.
Oh,
and then
God.
Some woman was like, he's proposing. It's a proposal. She screamed it out. It was like so New York. And then this other woman was like, okay, be quiet, everybody. The guy's definitely proposing. And he was like shaking.
Oh, my
and then
God.
He says this thing or whatever. He's just like, it was pretty quick. He's just like, you make me a happy man, will you make me a happy husband?
Oh
no?
My god, he's so sweet.
I know.
It was pretty
your
cute.
Life is a movie.
And then I mean there's plenty of unacceptable nonsense in my life, but then this woman was like, what's your name, sweetheart? I want to put this on Facebook. And I was like, Rachel Feinstein. Again, I had to scream that out in the middle of this lovely moment. And then she goes, oh, is he Jewish? And I was like, no. I go, but he's a fireman. Because I knew that would get it. And
he knows Yiddish.
Yeah. And then everyone went, thank you for your service. Yes. Like the whole restaurant. And they all start clapping. And then this woman goes, I have a lemon chicken recipe that saved my marriage. I'll give it
no.
to him. What was happening in your marriage that took a lemon chicken recipe to save it? Like, why would that
oh
be
God.
The what specific cocktail of problems did you have
oh
that a lemon
God.
Chicken recipe addressed?
And that woman? My mother.
I'd save my marriage.
That's psycho. Oh, my God. And then you just, the wedding was a month ago.
Yes.
What
yeah,
was it like?
It was really fun. We had a pinata. I wanted a pinata.
Why?
I like pinatas.
Why? Why? Let's
why?
Unpack that.
Yeah. Alan.
If you want a pinata, and I mean this with love, if you want a pinata at your wedding, do please seek treatment. There's options out there for help. Absolutely. Medicaid being what it is, like you can find someone who can help you.
I had no vision besides a pinata.
Oh my God.
I was just like, I don't know, it just made me laugh to think of all these like comedians and firemen swinging at a pinata. It just seems yeah. so dumb and funny. And I'm like, well, fill it with like airport sized liquors and like, you know, little joints and do-rags and mustache. It's just like stupid nonsense,
yeah.
you know? And
I
hope that your comedian
Lucky
friends
sevens.
All got to fuck firefighters that night.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought people would fuck more firemen.
Yeah.
And I'm really pissed
well,
about
maybe
that.
Maybe the firemen, did the firemen not want to?
I mean, they always want to. I mean, most of them are like, just drunken morons that are absolutely down to fuck. But they...
I'm going to go ahead and say, I think it is insane that we weren't invited to your wedding. I think it's a good time to bring that up.
Even when I had to...
We had fire truck come by the wedding, too. We had... And they... And, like, we took pictures with the firemen. You know, like, we had them at the wedding.
Oh my God! We're getting a photo.
I will look and then I will pass it to you.
Okay. And that's now. Oh my God. There's only a couple of those guys are really hot, but usually there's more of a better hot ratio. Yeah.
You don't
but
have to apologize for that.
Really
the one who's directly holding you is really hot.
Is really hot, right?
Directly holding you.
I like Silver Ox. Silver Fox at the end.
Yeah, he's kind of cute too.
Yeah.
But anyway, but they all stopped by and stuff.
Oh, I love your dress.
Whenever I call him, he'll be like.
Hair is like, really nice.
Oh, thank you. He'll be like,
oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm like, where are you? He'll be like, letter 7.
Oh my God.
Like, chapter whatever. Like, and I never know where that is.
I don't ask me where letter 7 is.
Oh my God. Yeah. You look like a supermodel, and these guys are so cute.
It was sweet that they all came by. It's
are there
cute.
Any gay firefighters in New York?
I mean, of course there are.
You would think, but you would be surprised.
But they're probably not out, which is
so
sad. And that's my foundation. My foundation is to kind of help firefighters transition into a gay lifestyle. And I'm starting that foundation tomorrow. And I need volunteers. If you want to be involved, incredible work that we're going to be doing.
I'm obsessed.
They're like, I mean, there's a lot of hot ones, though. And I'm sure there's a lot of gay ones. I know there's at least, like, Pete told me that he worked with a trans firefighter recently, and her dad was a fireman. There's got to be plenty of gay firemen as well.
Thank you for saying that. That was sweet to say.
And the first time that I spent the night, I was, like, about to leave his house, and I said, like, the dumbest thing. I was like, I don't know why I said this, but I go... It's not sexy at all, but I go, next time I'll wear better panties. And I'm like, why did I just say that? What an unsexual, like...
I would definitely
say
that.
You do feel this need to apologize if you're not wearing, like, sexual underwear when you hook up. I've definitely fallen victim to that. Absolutely, I've apologized for my underwear many times.
I know.
Many times.
I just trimmed my pubes for the first time in, like, a million years last night. And now I'm like, no more apologies. No, from this day forward... No more apologies.
My therapist recently I've never been in therapy my whole entire life.
Which explains
how I am.
A bit.
And I am on Medicaid, so I can get like some therapists. So it took me a really long time to find someone. She said in her second session, which is better than my first one, where most of it was her telling me to to try writing in a coffee shop. Was like the main like thing. I was like, I'll try writing in a coffee shop. But is when she said that she thinks I'm hot and that she doesn't believe in happiness.
What?
And then like apropos of nothing, she said, I didn't Google you. And I was like, okay, I didn't think you Googled me, but now I think that you Googled me. It was like, I didn't Google you. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't think you did.
Yeah.
And also, thank you for saying I'm hot. And also, what do you mean you don't believe in happiness? So we'll figure it out. I absolutely can't afford a different one. So we'll try to make
it
work.
Are you going back?
I'm going today.
Are you going today?
I'm going today.
What time?
3 p.m.
Oh my God, mine is at 3.
I hate, these are the times I hate. 3 p.m., 4:30 p.m.
No, like, I like those times.
No, those are sad times to me. I like 11, my favorite 11:30 time is 11:30 a.m.
11:30 is great because it gets you out. Then you're like, all right, then I'll do some shit today if I have to do that. 11:30.
It feels like full of hope.
10 a.m. is hostile.
I agree. No, we totally agree.
We don't like this. We don't support this. Like, it was our choice, but we don't agree with it.
It wasn't our choice in many ways.
In many ways, like, what we do isn't our choice. But I like a 7 p.m. Like, and then even like 9 p.m. could be fun. When you get late, I don't like late. These aren't just therapy specific. These are just times that I like.
Yeah,
I
mean, a 9 p.m. therapy appointment.
Yeah. And I wouldn't
that's
even
like
agree
not
that.
Someone's abusing you.
That's horny.
Yeah, at that point, it's a date.
So what I was going to share is that I famously ghosted my old therapist because I was in a good mood for one day. And now I'm... starting with a new therapist. Her name is Anne, and I'm meeting her today at 3.
Anne is such a grounded name.
I know, and
I
need Anne too.
I really need help. How is your ther?
I haven't been in a long time. I need to go back. I kind of want to get it's on the Upper West Side, and I'm at Greed Point, so I just can't get myself.
Yes.
I'm
Upper like, West Side is the therapy capital of New York.
Yeah.
I know. I love
the
it up there.
I got to get a new one through his, like, fireman insurance or whatever.
Got
so
it.
Now I could get one through my new insurance, but
being
I haven't figured
marrying
it out.
A fireman is one of the best things you can do for your life.
It does help a lot. Like, the insurance is really just golden.
Yeah.
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 And is he just, like, in awe of your, like, career? Like, how does that work?
I wouldn't say he's in awe. He doesn't, like... He, like, when he came with me to, like, L.A. to do my Netflix, he came with me when I shot my Netflix special. That was the first time he'd ever been to L.A. Like, so he just doesn't really, like, right. He doesn't understand a lot about it. We were in the middle of, after we shot the special, you know, they had to shoot the second shot of me walking inside afterwards. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's like one of those dumb feelings you have, you know, when you're, like, walking in, someone's shooting, you're like, what have I always done with my arm?
I know, yeah. I know. It's impossible.
That was my experience around waiting tables, where, like,
basically the same thing, yeah. Shooting your Netflix special.
Like, I was like, as soon as I approached a table, I was like, wait, how do you hold a cup again? Like, I couldn't remember holding cups. Yeah.
Everything your body does feels stupid. I'm like, what have I been doing with my dumb wrist all this time? And they're supposed to have this, like, grainy, cool-looking shot, and I'm just, like, waving my arms in some rancid, bizarre way. Like, I just felt like it was felt so strange. And he was like, so we're shooting it. We just shoot a couple times. And he's like, why do you have to do this again? I'm like, well, they just need the entrance or whatever. And he's like, nah, I don't think it's a good idea. And I'm like, you don't have any information to offer anyone.
So, not a good idea.
He's like, nah, yeah. I don't think it's a good idea.
And then I tell you how to take cats out of trees, buddy? Don't tell me how to hold my arm. It's a comedian's job.
I just watched him, like, he's sauntered up to the director, like, no. As he's shooting, and he was like, I don't think you should shoot this because she already did, like, the special thing. So he's
my God.
She should be done now, you know? And I was like, no, like, you have no insight to possibly offer this situation. And I'm like, why would he think that he could saunter up? I was like, this is like an active, like, production. I'm like, no, just go, like, eat chips somewhere else. Yeah. And I told the guy, I was like, sorry, he's a fireman. But that's the thing, you could just say that. Yeah, and then they were like, oh, thank you for your
time. Oh, my God. That's the magic ticket.
But he just saw.
Not like this is my dumb.
And then another time we were like on, he came with me to shoot this commercial and he was looking over and I'm thinking, like, is he gazing at me like your life, like some intrigue, you know?
Right.
And I was like, what does he think while he watches me do this?
Yeah.
And then I texted him. I mean, I asked him at the end of the day, I was like, so what was like today like for you? Like, just hoping I'd get like a series of compliments. Yeah. And, like, how subtly compelling I was, you know? And then he was like, he's like, I kind of wanted to be at the pool. And I was like, no. All right. And then he goes, I've been on sets before anyway. I was like, what set? What set have you been on? Like, why would you take this long? We're getting married in a month to tell me that you've been on a set. And I was like, what set?
On fire?
And he goes, oh yeah, my friend Larry in college, which just
Larry
sounds like a
David.
Fictitious.
It was Larry David.
That would be amazing if it was Larry David. And he goes, hey, I played a goon once in an independent film. And I was like, you played a goon? What? Where is this footage? He goes, yeah, I don't know. It's like an independent thing. Anyway, Larry wanted me to be a goon. He's like, the goons that were supposed to be in the movie didn't show up. So I was a goon.
It was goons are never showing up.
So he was
up.
Thinking of that.
Yeah, he was just like, it's a lot of waiting, it feels like, you know? Like, and
God.
It is a lot of waiting.
It's a lot of waiting.
Oh, my God.
So I think he thinks it's kind of cool, but he's not like... He doesn't like a real long day on the set.
He's not enamored by it.
No, I wouldn't say enamored. I think he thinks.
But you don't
it's
want that. You don't want someone to be enamored by it. I don't think.
No, I guess not. Yeah, he's so easy. Like he's not really jealous. Like one of his fireman friends mm-hmm. called me at 4 a.m. and left me like a drunken message. Like I'm gonna steal you from Pete. I loved it. I was like,
wait, that's so
that's
hot.
Good. But also seek treatment to that guy.
Wait, what's going on with that guy? He said he was in love with you.
Basically,
the lead.
When he got promoted to captain, he was like, this sounds like the beginning of a porn, but he's like, I'm going to give you some of the guys' numbers and just text them. And because you'll be sitting with them because he's going to be on like the stage or whatever with the, you know, mayor. Gives him a thing.
Cool.
So I was like, he's like, but these guys are like, take care of, like, doesn't it sound like the beginning of
everything about this is so porn.
A porn I never knew I needed was like, my husband is getting promoted to D5 and at his graduation to captain, I like have to sit in the middle of his, like, all of his fireman friends.
There's no seats. I can sit on your lap because there wasn't enough seating.
A porn. That needs to exist.
That story is
an important story that's not being told in porn right now.
I know.
I think we need more female directors, more female writers.
I always, whenever we hook up, I'll put on his captain's hat, and I'm like, this is awkward, but I outrank you, and then I act like I control the site now or whatever. You know? And as we're doing it, I'm always like, but what would she say, like, if she did outrank? Like, I ask him to help me write my monologue, and he's like, oh, you probably say that, you know, this is a 1075 private's, well, you know, so he'll give me like the codes, and I'm like, okay, okay, shut up, shut up. And then I go back into the character of the girl that's like, I'm in control now. Oh my but God. You know,
so respectful to the crowd.
So that's what he's into. He likes being dominated.
I usually make up different scenarios, but he kind of goes with it. He hasn't really expressed any specific interest, but I ordered like Catholic schoolgirl outfits.
He's begged you to stop.
That maybe we can shorten the pre-sex scenario.
He's yelling, "You're not on set. You're not on set. You're not on set."
As someone who knows what set is, you're not on set right now.
I ordered a Catholic schoolgirl outfit off Amazon because I was like, "Oh, wait."
And I think then that's hot.
I accidentally got 15 because I ordered like
no,
I
you didn't.
15 oh, Catholic schoolgirl outfits right now, and I'm just too lazy. That's... I know I'm never going to return them,
why
so
would
I just
you?
Like wow. grab one of them, and I'm like,
oh my God, just give them to friends, so and everyone's just, that's a porno.
That's a porno. That's also like a bachelorette. That's do a with bachelorette all these... you should have had for your bachelor. That should have been your bridesmaid outfits.
We had a big bachelorette party, which was
joint.
Like, yeah, we had a joint.
Modern,
it was
modern.
A, yeah, because again, I was hoping my friends would hook up with someone.
Yeah, you're right. So giving of your friends.
I want them to all.
Do you have single friends or are your friends all married?
No, I have some single friends, but neither of them have hooked up with firemen yet. It hasn't really worked itself
out. It's really hard when your single friends haven't hooked up with firemen yet.
It is. It's really difficult.
And you've made it to the other side and they're...
I know.
It's like, hard to manage the friendship. Like, I have this firefighter.
But he told me when he went to the captain's thing, he's like, text these guys and they'll sit with you. A couple of them will meet you downstairs. So... one of them had my number, and then he's kind of their boss, so they don't get too crazy in front of him or whatever.
Which is
so,
right, probably.
But then later, that one of them went out and got like worthlessly drunk, and when I got up, there was like a missed call at like 4:40 a.m. and I was like, looks like Mike decided to give me a buzz last night.
I'm obsessed with Mike. What did the voicemail say?
He's like, I love you. He's like, I'm drunk. I'm gonna steal you from Pete. I loved it so much.
Yeah,
course.
I love
like,
that.
Christmas morning,
exactly.
Yeah. He's like, I'm gonna steal from Pete. He was like, fuck Pete, I'm gonna become rescue. Rescue is like when they do a special ops where they like rescue people in like the water or whatever, like we need cranes or helicopter based things.
I would only hook up with a rescue, by the way. I have standards. I'm sorry, I know my worth in my 30s.
If you're not
a rescue, I'm not going to hook up with you.
So stop begging, sweetie. It's not a good look.
You're really if I had a dime for every time I said the sentence, you're really cute, but I only hook up with guys who are a rescue. I'd have like $1 trillion. I think you're really cute, though.
I love that went from, are there any gay firemen at all in New York City to like, sorry, only rescue, baby. But no, rescue is called like squad, or they go blue, it's called, right? So now that I'm a fire wife, they've asked me to stop using that term.
Fire wife.
FDNY
needs to be edited out because Rachel has received a cease and desist from the NYFD.
NYFD, honey.
Like, yeah, that's not the thing, a fire wife. And I'm as a fire wife, because I start my sentences that way.
As a fire wife. It sounds like this next fall on VH1, Fire Wives.
Oh, my God.
So he left me a message. He was just like, I'm going to steal you from Pete. Fuck Pete, I'm going rescue. We're gonna have little blue babies, you and me, because that's like going blue. It's called when you go to rescue.
Wow, is it like a kind of a classist system where it's like the blue babies don't hang out with like the normal firefighters' babies?
The squad, it's kind of interesting because squad, the rescue ones, there's like certain houses. Like if you walk by a firehouse and it says squad, that means that they have like that they have the possible whatever equipment or whatever they need to be able to do those kinds of special operations or stuff like that. But then it's kind of different ranking system when you climb up the ranks, like captain or whatever. I don't know if he's above him or not. And this guy isn't even rescue. He's saying he's going to be
rescue. Yeah, he's promising
you
that life.
He can impregnate you with his blue babies.
And then he was like, Pete has a baby penis.
Oh my God.
Wait, what the fuck? Baby penis?
Fuck him. He goes, I heard he has a baby penis, which is really funny because it's like, I would know his penis.
Yeah.
But he's just like, he was trying to plant some doubt in my head, you
totally.
Know?
Totally. It's like, if you think that's an adult penis.
What about small? Yeah. What about Mike?
Yeah, baby makes
Mike,
me uncomfortable.
I'm open to you drunk calling Rachel whenever you want. But I don't know about baby. I think maybe small penis works instead of baby.
Remove baby penis from the lexicon.
Yeah, take that
if
out.
If we can.
We'll
if it's
do our
safe
best.
To do that, yeah.
our own rescue of sorts.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's
addicted.
Amazing.
Wow. Okay. I'm like, my mind is fucked up.
I'm gonna have to go home and feverishly just like smash my hand on my crotch.
Yeah, well, now I know what I'm talking about in therapy today. I learned about firefighters more.
Funny thing is, I played the whole message for him. I'm like, well, Mike had a couple things to say.
Wait, what did he say?
He just laughs. He's just like, he probably would never mention it to him because he probably wouldn't want to embarrass him.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, he's not, he was like, oh God, let's hear it. You know, like, he's like, oh Christ, you know, but he probably won't, will forget to mention it. And the other crazy thing is,
I've never forgotten to mention it. I'll never forget about it. I will mention it to Mike.
Yeah, like Mike was at the wedding. He's forgiven. You know, like he probably forgot. I swear to God, he probably forgot.
That's crazy to
me. If he did it twice, he probably would have said something, but he's not. He's just kind of like, yeah, what a moron, you know, like whatever. But like the weird thing with them is like, yeah, like there, I guess also it's because he's his boss, he doesn't want to like call extra, you know, attention
just
to
let it
or whatever. But yeah, I can't remember what else I was going to say. But yeah, they're all a bunch of, I mean, there's so many of them that I'm actively attracted to.
Good.
Yeah.
And he's heard me say that. Like,
totally. Well, we always talk about crushes like within relationships. Yeah. Because it's hard to turn that side of you off.
Yeah.
Having never been in a relationship, I can't speak to it, but I am friends with Catherine.
And I've been
she's
in many.
Been in relationships.
And I've had crushes in many. And I have many crushes now.
Should we do?
I think we need to just take a second. Rewind and ask you a quick question.
Yes.
Who were you? Who are you? And who do you want to be?
And whatever that means to you.
Yeah. Like, how did you get here? Like, what's your story?
Like start with him and that guy said that thing about your thighs.
Yeah,
paint us
a picture. Where are you from? I'm shivering.
Who's your first boyfriend?
My first boyfriend was there was rumors that he dealt guns out of his basement.
okay, so that's kind of, this is telling me a lot about you. Like, okay.
He was a bad guy. He was 5 years older than me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, dealt guns seems like a lot for Bethesda, but like,
Bethesda, Maryland.
I think any guns is a lot for me.
Exactly.
If you even deal one gun, to me, that's a lot.
Yeah. That was the rumors about him. So he was probably like an eighth of whatever dealing guns out of your basement is. But he was.
Wait, what grade? What was this in school? Like, what grade was this?
Yeah, it was like ninth grade. And then he cheated on me and then broke up with me. And then the next guy was in a band called Dick's Sister. And that got me to move to New York. So I moved to New York with Dick's Sister.
Oh my God. When did you start doing comedy?
I was 21, 22, but I did theater for a little bit, but I had no other skills. And I always wanted to be I could have been a doctor, but I made a noble decision to leave it but my grades were like just wildly bad. Like I D's and F's, like real disaster, like haunting.
Were you cool though?
I had friends and stuff, but I wasn't like,
I think you could have been a doctor. I identify as having been able to be a doctor.
Yeah, and my whole thing is that I am a lawyer.
I mean, grades don't matter.
No, I just like know I could be.
I feel like you could be too.
I know. Yeah. I literally think it's easy.
She does always say that being a lawyer is easy.
And then I get dragged being a doctor on Twitter.
Did you go? Did you?
Do you really?
What?
Do you really get dragged on Twitter?
Like once or twice.
Okay,
do you go to?
Someone was like, lawyers wake up early, and I'm like, good point.
You both seem like you would be like smart, good students.
Oh, yes, but, no.
No, stop.
Are you good?
Yes, I was a good student. I just didn't do homework as a rule.
But I feel like you could still get by.
Yeah,
like,
still,
you're the guy that's like,
grades.
I don't know what's going on. But really, you're
you got good grades?
These.
I got good grades. I just like never did homework, but I did really well on tests. Always.
He famously said he would go home at night and homeschool himself. And during the day it was more of like a social hour.
He's like there to chat for 8 hours. I'll learn this later on my own. Like,
oh my God. So, okay, you moved with Dick's Sister.
Dick's Sister dumped me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And then he kind of undumped me and allowed me to move back in for a little while. My dad
came
up with
awesome. Thank you so much, Dick's Sister.
He kept undumping and redumping me. And then my dad had to come back and like get me in our kind of grocery getter, like Dodge Caravan. I had to pack my things back up because
that's so
freshly
sad.
Dumped and then undumped.
Oh, your dad's just driving this van
back and forth. Yeah.
Howie's he never went driving. Home. He lived in that van for 2 years.
She got undumped again. I got to call out.
Then I had a crush on this pizza guy. I met this woman in the Greyhound.
What does that mean?
You have such a nice voice.
She has a beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
My voice isn't pleasing, but it is unique.
We can't argue with that. Pizza guy.
So then I moved in with this Bengali family. I met this woman on a Greyhound, and I was weeping over Dick's sister, and she was like, you can move in with me.
Oh, my God.
And she said, we'll have a good life. That's what you need.
I know. I don't weep enough.
Yeah, it sometimes it's helpful. I was just kind of crying, pushing my face into the corner of the window. And she was like, she told me not to cry.
Was she rich or something?
No, she was not rich at all. No, she works like 12-hour days. But she like took me in with her Bengali family and I lived with them and for a while. And I would wear like saris and they would go to their parties. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I had this new Bengali life. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, they were very lovely.
Where do they live?
How long were you Bengali for?
In Woodhaven. I was Bengali for, want to say, 2 years or so.
Oh, that's longer than most, that's longer than most vegans.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
She was like, never cry over the man. She told me, she's like, my husband. She was like, my husband is like, I guess she was in an arranged marriage that she wasn't very happy at the time. And she was like, my husband is like garbage person. She said, he's like garbage. I don't bother crying over him. He's garbage person.
Oh,
anyway.
My God. Oh, my God. And she she's like, an icon.
She's like, come over. She told me that speaking of taking vegetables, she's like, come over. We'll have good breakfast. We'll do yoga. We'll take yoga in the morning. We'll take marmalade. We'll have a nice life. I was like, I want to take marmalade and yogurt, like yoga. Yeah. So I moved in with her and we took marmalade and yoga in the mornings. And
oh my God.
And then there was this guy that like sold pizza on the corner. He worked at the pizza place and I thought he was really hot. And I would get ready for like hours, like an unstable, haunting amount of time, reapplying liquid eyeliner just to sit in the pizza place. It was so unstable. Like, I didn't have a job. I was such a profound loser.
Oh, my God.
And I would just go and sit in the pizza place, 20, and I would just go sit in the pizza place and stare at him. Just stare. It was really
amazing.
Wait, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Bethesda.
Bethesda, yeah. MD.
Yeah, but now we've hopped over to Woodhaven where I was haunting the pizza guy.
Applying liquid eyeliner.
I mean, I think he must have known because I was too scared to talk to him, but I would sit in that pizza place for sometimes like pizza 2.5 hours.
My God.
Pizza guys can be very, very hot. And maybe they don't get the same attention that firemen get, but pizza guys are
The work.
They're just working and they're not really paying attention. They're just throwing the pizza in and out.
I know.
Like,
yeah,
it's opposite of me.
They don't care
no thinking.
It comes out, but it comes out amazing. And
oh my God, I'm hungry.
They're like throwing it up with their triceps. And I think that I thank pizza guys for their service.
Yes, I thank pizza guys for their service too. I mean, and it's very hot and like they're not really paying. And there's so little that needs to be said when you buy a slice. It's like the opposite of the long analysis that happens in a Jewish life. Like it's just like they throw some pizza on the thing and that's like $2. That's it. That's the end of the exchange. It's so final, but there's so much more that could happen.
It's the beginning of a journey. Buying pizza is the beginning of a journey. If that makes sense. So you really respond to that kind of like strong silent type.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I like I like a guy that could like just like fix things and and stuff like that.
Maybe that's what I need.
Yeah.
What do I need?
I sometimes think that's what I need.
I'm so done.
I mean, there's problems with everything, of course. Right. It's like,
sometimes the pizza comes out too hot, and it's like, now what do we do?
Like, my husband can't, like, I had to try to explain to him, like, what feelings were. Like, he was like, I'm like, how was your childhood? He's like, it was fine. Like, no extra notes, you know? So now I make him go to the bed, and we have feelings corner. I'm like, we're having feelings corner. He's like, oh, feelings corner!
Oh my God!
You need a reality show.
You need a show about this.
I don't say this to just anyone. I respect reality
show. Are you working on a show about this?
Not yet.
My God, I'm obsessed.
But he'll come and he'll do Feelings Corner now. He puts it on. Usually I put the hat on, the captain's hat. And
oh my God.
He's like, oh, Feelings Corner, come on. I'm like, what? Get to the bed. And then I'll go over and I try to like talk to him about like his day or his whatever. We read that book, The 5 Languages of Love.
We have to talk.
Oh, yes, it talks about that.
Talk about the love language a lot in this podcast, but we want to be very clear. We have no fucking clue what we have not read the book.
My new love language is Sufjan Stevens murdering me.
Right.
That's what my love
language is. Wait, who's Sufjan Stevens?
Oh my God.
He's
love
a musish.
You. He's like this little like twee musician. Like,
he was,
in
did
the
you
woods.
See Call Me By Your Name?
What's that?
Did you see Call Me By Your Name? And I'm not offended if you didn't as a gay man. It's okay. It's okay. It's
Pat's
an important story.
Veins are popping out of his neck.
No, I don't like.
He's just this indie musician who's just like very gentle, and I just like want him to kill me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you find him attractive?
Yeah.
I don't actually know what he looks like.
He's hot, but he's gay, I think.
Are you serious?
I think.
That feeling when you're in love. No idea what he looks like. Don't care about his music.
Doesn't matter.
He's a gay person that I found out existed, and I am in love with him.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Point
and
is,
healthy.
Love language. What are your love languages?
Mine's quality time, if that makes sense to you.
What are the five?
Yeah, they're quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, gifts, which is really fun.
Yeah, we think that's fucked
up. We always say it's fuck seek treatment if your love language is gifts.
Yeah. Like, I got a Tamagotchi, like, I love you now.
And acts of service is the other one.
Yeah. What's yours? Acts of service, because you love fire.
But is it giving? Is it the one you give or the one you receive?
It's the one that you receive. It's like, it's, well, no, actually, that's not
both,
true.
Sure.
I got it wrong. No, it's, you usually give in whatever you want. And that's the problem is that most people give what they would want, you know?
Yeah.
So his is like acts of service. So he's like very practical and he takes care of things all the time. Like he comes home, he does all the cooking and the cleaning. Like when he goes to the firehouse, I just throw things all around the house. Like, dad's gone. Yeah. Like every light's on. I'm like a pig, you know?
Just as kids.
Right. Yeah. And I just like curl everything everywhere. And he like comes home. If there's a bill, he like pays it. And mails it, and I'm like,
oh my god, I need
you?
That.
You know?
I need that, but that's not love to me. I'm like, when someone does something for me, I'm like, okay, that was like an attack. Like you thought I couldn't do that or something.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
seek treatment.
But when someone, I think it's because I'm one of six kids, so quality time is so valuable. Like if it's one on one time, for when I'm scared of one on one time, it actively terrifies me because I don't like having to keep saying things back, and I like when there's someone else who can keep saying things back, and I can just say something if I have something like hilarious to say. But when I do like successfully navigate one-on-one time with someone, then I feel connected. And if I don't see you for like a week, like even if we're texting, like if I don't see you for a week, I'm like, you don't care if I live or die.
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable enough to want it. But what were your parents' dynamic like? What were
they were a good marriage.
Did they like, were they affectionate with you or?
Yeah, there was just a lot of us. So it was like hard to.
How many?
Six.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then there was like me and my older brother, like I'm six, like me and my older brother are 1 year apart, and he's a lawyer. And then there's 6 years, and then there's the next, and then there's like 4 more. And so it was like when my teen years, there was always like a 5-year-old, and it was always like I was 16, like having drama online. And I was like, no one cares about my drama online. But now I really like quality time.
Yeah, that
I'm assigning that's why. I don't know that that's why.
No, I think it's whatever you intuit it could be connected to is probably the best bet. You know?
Yeah.
That probably makes sense. How about you?
I like physical touch and compliments.
Me too. Those are my two.
Was that what it's called or what's it called?
Physical touch and words of affirmation, which is compliments.
And so when I don't get enough compliments, it really bums me out. And if you give me a compliment, I can like run that through my head for like weeks.
I hate when someone gives me a compliment.
Ugh.
What?
I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
That's really all. I think most girls need that.
That's why it's like, guys, it's so easy. All girls just want to be told they're like attractive and cool and like all you care about. Just say it. It's so easy.
When someone compliments me, it feels like I have to compliment them back, and then that feels disingenuous, and I'm like, why did you put us in this kind of holding pattern?
I compliment people so much. I feel like sometimes it's too much. Like, if I think a guy's hot, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm me like, too. Look at you. And you're he doesn't so really need hot. That, so he doesn't understand. Like, I'll be like, you look at it, but he doesn't, like, care about those kinds of statements, so he had to learn how to, like, oh, I have to say what I'm thinking and feeling. Like, he doesn't, but he... He went to therapy and his therapist recommended that book. So that's how we got the book.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. What would you say his... acts of service.
His is acts of service. So he'll go...
So do you try to do acts of service for him because that's his love language?
Yeah, like because he cares about stuff like I can't relate. Like he doesn't like it when I come home and I don't unpack the suitcase. But if I unpack the suitcase, who could give a shit whether someone else unpacks their suitcase?
Yeah. That's insane.
I can't imagine anything more bizarre.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me.
It's insane.
And the most boring, thing I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I'm like, are you cooking with madness? Like, what is that? So, but I know that if I put my suitcase away, he'll be like, okay, she took care of that. And like, it's off. Like, he like surfaces, you know, he cleans, he comes home and he organizes it, cleans. And to me, I'm like, loser. But also, it's like, well, that's good because he kind of takes care of like the house and the things and he cooks and he's always making like, he likes to make his own kombucha and like culture things and stuff. So he's
so deep. When someone makes their own kombucha, I'm like, you're so deep.
He's like, he sounds so amazing.
Yeah.
So are you guys going to have kids?
Yeah, who do you want to be? Well, who do you want to be?
I think one kid.
Yeah. Love.
Yeah. Just one. I know there's people saying they need a companion. One.
I know.
They'll be friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll
I
be
think
friends.
One kid will we'll either we'll have a kid or adopt a kid. Yeah.
Oh,
that's
love.
The idea.
Love.
Yeah, I'm going to adopt a kid.
Yeah.
I thought we were having a kid.
Well, we're going to have a kid, and then I'm going to adopt. And we'll share that one, and then I'll have
okay,
I'll
you'll have your own. Okay, mine. And I don't want to be involved in that one's life. I refuse to be involved in your adopted child's life. Okay, amazing. So who do you want to be? Like, what's it like being a successful comedian?
I don't feel like a I just think about the things that I haven't done and all the
stuff
that I haven't.
Do you feel like you've made it to the other side? Do you think you ever feel that way?
Probably not. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, you just see like, I mean, I do feel like I've lost hope, if that helps.
That's really helpful. That's because I'm my therapist and she doesn't believe in happiness.
Well, but I mean, like in a healthy way, because like I had a couple different pilots, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a few different pilots back to back. And now I have another pilot I'm waiting on. But it's like, I'm not really waiting on it anymore. Because I'm just like, you do it and then you just move on to the next project.
Yes, there's
I do feel like I get to make a lot of fun things with my friends, and I don't, you know, like I feel like I make a living at it now, like, you know, so in that sense. But I can't obsess about like what if something's gonna happen or not, you know, because you just don't know.
Yeah.
When you started doing comedy, were you like, this is my dream, I'm gonna do this? Or was it like, how did it start?
I bombed so badly, but I thought that I killed. Like the first time I was on stage, they were I was like, am I like a star? Like, you know when you're just opening your body language up for all the compliments?
Oh, wait, I'm a star.
Wait, holy shit.
I was like, I'm a sensation. Wait, a sensation, right? Yeah.
Is it me or was so a star funny. Just born? Like, yeah, every time I get off the stage. Oops. Okay, wait a second. That was historic.
I really was opening my body language up for like just everyone to run up and want to compliment and say what they took from the set and what they got. But it turns out that they were waving me off stage because I went way over my time, and the microphone wasn't even really pointed at my mouth. It was kind of diagonal, like in front of my face, just pointed like due north. And, like, it was obstructing my face. Plus, you couldn't really hear me. It was like I was so nervous, I think, that I just pointed it in the wrong direction. So I was kind of miking the crowd, and they needed me to get off stage. And it was, people were angry, and there was like discussions about me. Like, I was a problem.
Yeah.
But I got off kind of thinking like, I guess this is, I'll be going straight to show business from here.
Right, right.
But they were just like, yeah, you really need to respect the light. And like,
no, we think here, our ethos here at this podcast is, it's sad if you don't run the light. Like, bleak. It's bleak if you don't run the light.
It's like, have more to say. No. Every time I go on stage, I'm like, I'm going to do 1 minute. And then 45 minutes later, I'm like, okay, what just happened?
Yeah, I'm always
How about you? How did you start?
I did theater, musical theater, and then I was like, time to give this a go. I don't know. We both started doing like improv at UCB.
Yeah.
Is that how you guys met each other?
No.
No, weirdly. But that's like when you meet people, when you start meeting people and everyone kind of does everything, sketch, stand up, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Then we started doing.
My journey, I did improv at UCB for a really long time, and then I moved back to Long Island where I grew up to get sober, and then I came back and I just only really had an interest in doing more solo stuff. So I've just been doing stand-up ever since. And, of course, a podcast.
I think that's the main thing. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to wait for anyone else. So I'm going to do this thing that I can do on my own.
It's a lot more rewarding. Yeah, and also I'm just, like, a very selfish person. Like, when I'm on stage, I'm at my most selfish. I'm like, I don't want to worry about other people. I just want to get as many, like, laughs and attention as I can and then get the fuck out of here. And stand-up allows for that.
Yes, so, it's a beautiful
form. Did your family come watch you?
They do. They have seen my, like, long show, which is sexual, which I'm like,
I want to see a long sexual. It's so intriguing.
My barometer for what sexual is.
You talk about fucking like a daddy.
I talk about getting fucked by a daddy in front of my parents. And I was like,
wait, say this again.
Famously, okay.
tell the story.
Light that pumpkin candle.
Yes.
This is a phenomenon that happens to me. I don't really go on the apps. Truly, I don't. And something happens when I return to Long Island, where I get on the apps and I this isn't even like my thing. When I'm on Long Island, I only want to get fucked by older guys. It's really crazy and sad. And so I immediately go on. The second I cross over to like Nassau County, I'm just like, get me on Grindr, changing my bio, like looking for older. Like, it's insane. And so for a little while, like when I was out there, I was hooking up with this like kind of daddy guy near my hometown. And I'm 30 right now. I turned 30 a week and a half ago, and I'm so in this kind of post-apocalyptic space where I'm 30. But
and I'm not involving myself in that.
Yeah.
But like I, for a long time, people thought I looked really young. Like even I asked
people. You still do. Rachel Tommy looks young.
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
23, 24.
Thank you. Thank you. I asked people on stage. I asked people to guess how old I was, and they said 28. Which I was like, I'm 30, but that's actually still really bad.
28 is bad. And, it's one of the oldest ages.
People used to guess really young.
You're in the winter of your life.
And this guy, I think I'm in the winter of my life. And this guy, I think, thought I was like in my like tweens, because he like three times over the course of the hookup like said he knew I was lying, that I was 29. And I was, my joke is that I will do live in 10 days, or no, 5 days, no, 6 days, is that like, I think that's very brave in this specific political climate to like insist you're fucking a child. And then I actually went back to,
oh my god, remember when I made you tell my parents that joke the first time you met them?
The first time I met Kevin's parents, she made me tell them that joke, which is my most uncomfortable joke, especially to do in front of my parents, just, or even a friend's parents.
You just heard it, and I thought it was so funny. I was like, oh, yeah, this is the funniest joke he just did. And then your dad goes
like, is that your thing, meaning comedy? But I thought he meant older guys, so I was like, kind of, you know, like when I'm on Long Island. And it was this really uncomfortable conversation, and we're like, because I had not asked for this information, but I was explaining my relationship.
We were literally on stage. We went to see my brother's a musical theater actor, and we were going to see his show, and like there was this part where like they let you like mingle on stage before the show, and so we're like on stage, and Pat's like whispering this like daddy fucking joke. My mom's like, oh.
What do your parents do? I want to picture them.
I know they're business. They're cool, but they're business people.
They both work in business. What type of business?
No one knows.
I do know. My mom works in oil and gas. She's like a CFO. She's like flying to China, and like she's like all over the world. And then my dad runs his own VC fund.
What is a VC fund?
No
Venture
one knows.
Capital fund.
Oh,
I know.
Is that something that people
say? Invest in startups.
Oh, cool. Invest in me.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know. If he wants
talk to him. But they're I think they're really funny.
Do they have a lively marriage? I picture they have like a fun, respectful, like flirtatious marriage.
I would say they're like BFFs. They're like young too. They're like 55. So they're just like are my friends.
Wait, they're 55?
Mm-hmm.
But they had you when they were 18? Not to kind of
wait, how old am I?
You're 28 when they were
27.
Oh, my parents are young too then.
What? I literally can't tell you what 55 minus 27
And what nationality?
She's 28. I did the math wrong.
My dad's Jewish. My mom's Catholic.
Yeah.
Nationality.
Jewish. Jewish
Catholic. White. I'm saying white. Russian Jews.
Yeah. Same
Irish
with me.
Catholics. Or yeah. Irish and French.
Yeah. Father's
side. Is that
side
you? Is that your combo?
Father's side, Russian, Polish Jews. Mom, actually more like Methodist, Presbyterian. Yeah. But
oh my
Irish,
God.
Scottish.
Interesting.
Mixed.
But you were raised Jewish.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, yeah, that she converted, but she doesn't really care. No one really cares.
No one really cares.
That's kind of how it is.
They're just like really liberal, and they just like, yeah, like with the wedding, I'm like, Mom, I need to know like what to do, like flowers. And my mom's like, women rock. And I'm like, that's not helpful.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Yeah, so I'm from Texas. My parents are a little more conservative, I would say.
Yeah.
But women do rock, and they would agree with you.
My mom says that to me all the time.
Women
I'm like,
that's
rock? Not helpful. It addresses nothing.
Are they so proud of you though?
She's
are they like
celebrate? I'm like, please, I need to make these choices. Like, I need help, actual help, you know?
Oh my God. But are they obsessed with you?
Yeah, they're into it. They're into the comedy and stuff. Like,
it's
yeah,
very exciting.
My dad rewrote my bio like when I was home. I remember like earlier and when I had done stand up that long and I was like working on a bio on the computer
yes.
at my parents' house, and my dad rewrote it and mailed it to me on hot pink paper.
Oh my God.
That my mom said that fluorescent paper would be like a fun way to get attention for myself and that I should flyer these around. And he put like Rachel Feinstein, red hot comedian, takes New York by a storm. Takes New York.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
NYC is on its hell.
That's
can't
so
now
good.
Meanwhile, I'm just nannying for like 60 hours a week. And occasionally people will allow me on stage. And then they ask me not to come back to the room anymore because I've gone way over the light.
Incredible.
Problem. But yeah.
Incredible.
You have to run that light.
Yeah.
Young comedians, words of advice. Run the light, honey.
Please.
Go off, queen.
We will never get booked again. We will never get booked again.
And now, who do you want to be? What's your dream?
She said she wants one kid.
And
she wants to make stuff with her friends.
Are you guys going to live in Greenpoint forever?
We're looking at two bedrooms. Like, hopefully, we'll be able to buy a two bedroom eventually. It's pretty expensive.
What's your dream, Nabe?
I wouldn't mind staying in Greenpoint.
So nice.
Yeah, I like Greenpoint. It's just like old Polish people, and like there's not too many hipsters yet. I mean, I know there will be, but right now it's kind of like neighborhoody. And
Yeah, neighborhoody.
So, I mean, it would be nice to live on the Upper West, where, but I don't think we could afford a two bedroom there. Yes, exactly where Alan is. But I don't think I could afford there. But yeah, maybe, yeah, a two bedroom, still a fire wife, you know.
That's the name of your new show.
Making my show. Yeah, I'd like I want to do a show, like my own thing where I could do, and then, yeah, like one kid that maybe a surrogate. I'd love to pay for a surrogate. I don't know why everyone doesn't surrogate.
I know. Right?
I want to get that out. Yeah.
Whenever I see that, like I saw like somebody recently just had a surrogate and they had like, they were holding the baby and it was like on her chest, like, she looked like she had just given birth to it, but the surrogate had just passed. Gabrielle Union, I think it was.
She's passed it. Wait, I would love to get past my child. Like, just pass it over.
And I'll lay in a bed looking kind of like dewy or whatever. Just put a lot of highlighter on me. And
I would love to be Gabrielle Union's surrogate.
I would love to be Gabrielle Union.
And there was a study recently that gay rats did get pregnant. So gay people can get pregnant.
Oh, that's
and
huge.
And if you think they can't, you're hateful.
Now it's time.
Hateful's really
and
funny.
I am hateful. Now it is time for one of our most famous segments. Do you feel hot today?
Pat, no, I feel really jacked up today.
Talk
to
us.
Are you serious? Is it because it's early?
It was early. I couldn't get it together.
What did you
I usually
last night?
Don't flannel like this.
No, I like the flannel.
No, it's very just like sort of like college girl.
I mean, I was a mess this morning. I've
and I like the low button flannel.
Wait, I have two questions for you.
No, that's a compliment. That's I was like,
slut.
Godless whore.
One, my questions are, what did you do last night?
I had a couple shows last night at the Comedy Cellar in the Underground, Village Underground, yeah.
And do you like to party?
Like what kind of party?
Do you party? Like, are you like...
In gay culture?
Do you like to stay out at night? Are you like, I want to be home, like with tea?
I like to run my yap. Mm. I wouldn't say party though, like nightclub. Like I hate
nightclubs.
No.
I've never been to a nightclub.
Anything like that.
Do you think I've been to a nightclub?
But watch I say that and there's like blow on my nose. I'm a baker. I love baking.
It's flour.
For me, my almond flour. It's just home baking, baking.
Arrowroot starch. Amazing.
So I'm more of a drinker than I can't smoke pot because I get paranoid.
Exact same.
Yeah. But I like to like sit around and run my yap with my friends. Like
that's the best.
But I love to chat. I love to chat.
That's what we love.
Yeah. Like I was like so annoyed on the way over, and then I was like, this is so fun. Now I don't want to leave.
So
on the way over, I'm like, what? God shit! God damn it! I can't believe I have to be. Do they know who my father is? I like to say that whenever I try to get out of anything.
I'm a red hot comedian. Taking New York by storm.
This is going to make your career.
And then I got over here and I'm like, this is the best morning ever. Just everyone's running their yap.
It's fun.
I know.
Chat.
And then I get so sad when it's over because I have to like, go look at my emails.
I know. And we truly are always annoyed when we're coming here.
I know.
And just in general.
So you don't feel hot today, but what would it take to make
it?
I feel
so slovenly right now. And that's why I'm upset with myself that I didn't just get up an hour earlier.
And that's the tell us all this time.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible to
get
wake
it
up
all
an hour.
Together.
No.
So people clean me throughout the day. Like people feel comfortable picking things off me.
So people feel so comfortable in this town.
Yeah. I know. They're so at ease.
I have debris on myself. I have stains. Yeah, but what are you gonna do?
What are you doing today?
Today. Well, okay. So I actually have to go by the firehouse because he has.
Oh my god! Take us with you.
I know, this is sad.
We're gonna make follow that Uber.
I gotta go home and like get ready before I go by the firehouse. But I have to go by the firehouse.
Liquid eyeliner.
I'm gonna go reapply for like a real insane, like sizzling madness.
Oh my god! So funny.
Yeah, he's working at a different firehouse today, in like 14th and 1st.
Okay,
and
great area.
Writing this down.
Yeah.
And I took his keys. I take his keys a lot. Like I'll take them and lose them and whatever. So he needs his set of keys to get back later when I have a.
That's toxic.
Yeah,
that's an unreasonable demand. Unreasonable demand.
That
to want your
so
keys.
Sad.
I'm always losing keys.
I know.
You lose things too.
I mean, that's since like a whole thing.
Since I started nannying, which feels like 10 years ago, but it was 6 weeks ago.
It's actually crazy how much he's lost.
I've lost the following things. The little girl's backpack, an adult razor scooter, the little girl's jacket, a stranger's jacket that looked to me like the little girl's jacket. So I took it and lost it. And the credit card that they gave me.
I can't believe they still employ you. I do that all the time, but it's not insane. Jackets and backpacks
it's insane that they haven't fired you.
I'm not allowed to take Ubers anymore because they're like, maybe it's just a lot like getting out of an Uber. And I'm like, yeah, I'm the kind of person that it's a lot for me to get out of an Uber. That is overwhelming to me. Stepping out of a car is overwhelming to me. But the worst was the credit card happened right after the stranger's jacket. And so I was scared to tell them. I was like, I have to wait until there's been an appropriate amount of time.
Between losing things, I do the same things too. I shed debit cards throughout the city. I'm like Oprah. I'm like, you get a debit card. Every month I have a new
debit card. A first name basis with like every Chase Bank employee because I'm like, I need a new one. But
how often do you lose so I feel better?
So, right. I mean, Catherine, how often would you say? I mean,
every day there's something. I just got
Also, I'm in this weird place right now where I feel like it's unflattering to have my keys in my pocket. I have this neurosis right now where I feel like it's unflattering to have my keys in my pockets while I'm on stage. So I keep putting my keys, like leaving my keys in green rooms and just leaving.
Crazy. Keep them in your pocket.
So I'm always like going back to venues to get my keys. And then also, so I don't have this credit card. I'm not telling them about it because I want them to respect me as a strong gay man in New York.
You haven't told them about the credit card yet?
No. So for weeks.
Somebody's probably like just racking up.
I just like can't keep like everything that he does. I'm just like, nothing fazes me anymore.
You need to understand I'm very, very poor. So I'm embarrassed to tell my lost credit card. So for weeks, I'm just like buying things with my own money for their kids.
He doesn't have money.
I had to go to the grocery store, buy them groceries, just like paid for it.
Oh my God.
And then I got so relate.
This is like my whole life. Losing and shame over losing.
Yeah, I have so much. That shame is the most thing I have shame over, even more so than being gay.
No, that's wrong. You should have more shame about being gay. That's bad.
From when I was very, very little, I've just truly lost. I was like everything. And I was always the person who, like, in fourth grade, my teacher, Mrs. Fates, made me keep all of my things in a milk crate next to my desk because my desk was too messy. Yeah. And I just always have been that person who, like, I can't keep, like, if I'm holding something, I don't let myself hold things because if I'm holding something,
I can't either. Not supposed to be trusted with any holding.
In 10 minutes, I will be like in a new space and I will look down and I'm not holding the thing anymore. And then it will have been lost. And like, I don't know. I just want to know, like, I hope this happens when you die, is you just find out where everything you lost is. And because I don't need it back. I'm over it. It's water under the bridge. But I just, to satisfy your curiosity, I want to know where the fuck it went. And I just hope all my debit cards are, like, together somewhere. You know what I mean? I hope my phones are all charging somewhere.
Yeah. I lose my EDD medicine. Yeah. And then it'll be like, that's why when you were like, you're married, I'm like, am I a wife? If you looked in my bag, like, there's probably like keys and peanut butter and like a piece of ADD medicine stuck to that, you know.
God, my mouth is
watering.
And then
the first time I spent the night over at his place when I wait, what did you just say?
That was one of my like drugs of choice was like other people's Adderall. So like, I was like, where is your bag? Let me go put that in our bag room.
Oh my God.
Sniffing the inside of your purse.
Oh my God.
The first time I left his house, when I had already said the panties thing, which was embarrassing enough.
Yeah.
He was like, is this yours? And he came out of the bedroom with the most foul handful of debris.
That's so funny.
It was like wadded up, which I never wear. I think I wore them for an audition or something. Like pantyhose, like elder looking pantyhose. Whoever wears pantyhose anymore? And then wrapped around them was like the longest Goodwill receipt. It was like a novella on a receipt with like some gum stuck to it. And he was just like, he had this wadded.
Is this yours?
He was like, is this yours? I'm like, am I a princess? Is that what you asked me?
Is that stressful? Because I'm always like, is it stressful then to be married to a neat?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Because we
have to
really
hide so much of yourself.
We don't bicker like day to day. But the one thing that does annoy him is my messiness.
Yeah.
He doesn't, I could come home at like 4 a.m, whatever, my life, he all of it is just like, sure, very accept, very easygoing, except with my sloth, like wildly slovenly ways. And then he doesn't like when I take his things and lose them.
I know, people hate when I do that too.
Weird, that's so weird. That's
together!
Weird.
I know, my so brother. The keys that I have, it's like, I lost them already, and it has an elevator key that like firemen have to open the subway, like, you know, the extra like door if he needs that for some reason, or if he's doing like something where he has, wears like class A is like a thing.
Yeah.
It, that's his like fancy uniform for whatever, some service.
We don't
the point
care.
Is, it's like, for, it like works on all subway and elevator. Like, oh, he's like, that God. Key is really important. Like, you can't lose it. And I'm like, fuck.
I do get so defensive.
Like, I have to say that I just like, I could not be with anyone like either of you.
I know. And, it makes
and
me,
I say that with love.
And that makes me scared that I could never be with a rescue. But your so inspiration. But I am also like, this is a real thing I did one time. I was once crashing around staying with my dear straight friend couple, Keith and Maureen, who I know from college. And
he knows him from college, just if you're wondering.
And
she was like, where'd you pick up a straight couple?
It was another lifetime. It was a different world. It was me entrenched with straight people. And it was the 90s.
matchbook.
Me slipping matchbooks to straight couples, being like, do you want to be friends? And they live in Greenpoint. You can relate. You can connect with that as a straight person in Greenpoint.
I'm charging right now.
I'm telling your story. And I was sober during this time, but I would like soon realize, like, I was like still fully in a fog. I'd been sober for maybe a month, was crashing on their couch, had keys to their space, which no one should. I always want keys to people's spaces, but no one should give me keys to their space. But edit that out because I don't want people to know that. And I was leaving to go to do a show at UCB. I remember packing my things to leave for the show, and then the next thing I know, like, I'm on a subway. I'm like, oh great, like I've like vacated my body for a time, and now I'm on my way to the place that I'm going. I finished the show. My friend Maureen texts me and is like, hey, like, where are you? And I was like, I'm at my show or whatever. I was trying to hang out with this guy after. I was like, I'm at my show, whatever. She's like, did you like leave the water on? And I was like, no. And she was like, I think you did. And what had happened was I was not there present for this. Don't know even why I would be dealing with the sink. I left the stopper in the sink and left the faucet on. So their entire fourth floor apartment, like,
no.
And it sunk down all the way. They got home and all four floors were just people standing outside, like,
are you
furious?
Serious?
And the landlord, this old Polish man, had to come and he just looked at them like, why would you do this?
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, that happened.
So what happened?
So,
I mean, it's like massive amounts of damage. Like,
I mean, it sounds like it, but like,
what the fuck?
There was no like,
but it
ultimate.
Was, like, weirdly cool.
I stayed at their place last week.
Did they move out? I don't get it.
It was awkward. I got back in Maureen. I remember Maureen being like, I was like, I'm so sorry.
You were sober?
I was sober.
And, were you actually?
Yeah, I was actually sober.
Don't lie to me.
He wasn't even drunk. Put it on my tombstone.
That's why I said it's
That's great.
And she was like, I was like, are you mad? And she was like, I remember, like, I was like, going to go stay with my brother after that because I was like, maybe I shouldn't. I was already kind of overstaying my welcome. And and then that was really overstaying my welcome. And
weird.
She was like, I'm not mad, but I think you should leave before Keith gets home. It was like, I was like, am I a child again? It was like, it was very much like, dad's going to be home from work soon.
Just so you know, I would be beyond mad.
Yeah, I know.
And it would be hard for me. What did I say yesterday? Yesterday, he was like, we got food. And he's like, can you pay? And I Venmo you. And I was like,
because I don't have a debit card right now.
I do that a lot. Yeah, the Venmo. And I used to do it with my brother, too. Like, can I somehow, like, write you a check? Yeah. Or like, yeah. Like, because years ago, it was just a check. So I would offer everyone because I lost all my cards.
Yeah, well, what I found out about is Apple. What I found out about from the Serena Williams commercials is, like, how you could get money with just your phone.
The Apple Pay thing.
Yeah. And so I've been using that. So I've just been taking out cash. But it's enabled me to not get a new debit card for truly months.
We really
now.
Shouldn't have debit cards.
Yeah,
we
shouldn't.
Prove that we don't.
If debit cards are like licenses and they could be revoked, like, I would not have a debit card. I would be like on trial right now to never.
I lost my passport so many times that I got like some sort of like probationary passport, like a punishing passport.
Yeah, you're
like
only allowed
like,
to go
only
like
about a year no. one.
You're
like,
only, I was trying to think of a shitty country, but I was like, maybe I shouldn't.
Maybe this is a shitty country.
Yeah, maybe
you
this.
Think about
and,
that?
And, oh, wow, Black Mirror, God. Black Mirror,
fucking
and,
Black
every
Mirror.
Every episode, there's a light bulb moment. Oh,
this is a political podcast,
and they were talking about America the whole podcast. Okay,
and so I said,
you said, I was like, is this annoying when I do this? And you said. You said it probably is for other people. But
I said,
it
doesn't annoy me, but it might annoy other people.
Yeah.
And that was an honest answer. Yeah. Now, we need to sort of wrap this up, I feel.
I we haven't been doing Crush of the Week.
I don't really have.
We never have. We have
you know why?
In.
You know why? It's because we have crushes.
I know. We have real life
and we
crushes.
Can't talk about it. Because they're addicted to the
time. Sometimes we do Crush of the Week and you can say a crush.
I have a plethora of crushes, but I'm not emotionally
Tom
ready
Hardy.
To call them out.
Tom Hardy is your Crush of the Week?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who is that again?
He's like this really hot British actor.
Yeah. Cool. He kind of has one of the faces like, oh, him, yeah. Like he's really hot.
He's like really hot, yeah. And I like the guys from the old movies, like Paul Newman when he was young.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Paul Newman when he was young. That's a good question.
He likes the guys from the old movies.
I like the old pictures.
My crush of the week is Mike. From Rachel's husband's firehouse.
Oh yeah, that's a good
obsessed
one.
Obsessed with him.
That's a good one.
Mike slide right.
I'll
the
show you a
into
picture of him after. He's pretty cute.
And you know who my crush is? The woman who introduced you to your husband who leaves matchbooks. At steakhouse. Who says that? Whoever says that a good place to meet a guy is a steakhouse, that's my crush of the week.
And my crush of the week
what's
is,
her name?
Her name is Irene.
Irene.
And my crush of the week is also the Bengali woman.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. She's very sweet.
And my crush of the week is also.
A pizza eye.
And my crush of the week is also every pizza person I've ever dealt with. And my crush of the week is also Tammy Seeger.
Oh, wait, that's my crush
of
the week.
Dinner last night.
That was heaven.
She's so kind. She's so warm spirited. And she's a hero.
So full of love.
She's my hero.
Now, our final segment is called Tensions Run High on this pod, as you can probably tell.
Mm. And so we like to check in with each other at the end.
It's a quick segment called Are You Mad at Me? Pat, you can go first.
And we never know what that means when someone has to go
but
first.
But we're figuring it out.
Okay. But we don't like make progress from week to. Because I don't know if you, when you say I go first, do I ask you if you're mad at me or do
you
I
tell
say,
me.
I tell you.
If you're going first, it means you're talking first.
Okay. But when I'm talking, am I saying
you're not you? Asking a question, you're telling information.
Okay. Calm down.
I can't see your face.
Yeah,
this is real.
I hate this. I know this is
setup.
God, it's so
the things we put up with.
It's so frustrating.
Podcast for free.
Okay, Catherine, I'm not mad at you at all.
Mm.
We had nicest chat. I was the only one who was kind of on your side earlier when you were you weren't getting texted back soon enough.
No, you can't talk about that.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know
if
anymore.
You didn't just say that, it wouldn't be obvious. No, I can talk about it.
You have to stop.
I can talk about it.
Start over.
You're recording this, you toxic bitch. You spy. Oh my God, our producer is recording this whole time.
Okay, you're not mad at me.
I'm not mad at you. I'm especially not mad at you right now. I'm a little scared that you're going to go to London soon because my love language is quality time, and I famously am not in London.
It's going to be hard for us.
Yeah, why? Why are you going to go to London?
I'm going to do my show there.
Oh, okay. All right. But you're going to come back.
Yeah, I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, which is going to be hard for us.
Okay. Yeah, that's
we like to see each other every day.
We prefer.
Aww. It's good.
And Rachel, I'm not mad. This was so much fun. I feel kindred. Whenever I find another loot.
Loser.
Person who loses things.
Another fucking loser.
I feel
loser.
So connected. And especially when the person is, you know, it's a red hot comedian taking New York by storm. I'm like, oh, there's hope for me. There's hope for me. I too can be a red hot comedian taking New York by storm.
Oh my God, I got in trouble so many times when I was a nanny. Losing things. Oh, I went nanny for the psychiatrist and I would lose their keys so much and I would buzz her in the middle of her appointments with her patients to get another set of keys and she would come out like, this is the last one. Like, it was terrifying. Like, heart pounding.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so scary when you've lost someone else. That's what's hardest about being a nanny is now I'm losing other people's things.
Yeah, it's bad.
Maybe it isn't the perfect job for you.
Yeah, maybe, but I have to constantly remind myself that it's okay. You
it's
know
temporary.
What I mean?
You're gonna get better.
I'm not trying to be professional Mary Poppins.
No.
Or am I, in a way?
You never know where life's going to take you.
Okay, Catherine.
Pat, I'm not mad at you. Last night was so lovely. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, for the kind words exchanged. I am sad about London.
I know, and it's your choice.
Excited.
It's definitely your choice. I know.
And I also am like wondering, like, could you have time to hang out after this for like a little bit?
What time is it right now? My answer is a little bit. Don't check. I don't like to suddenly know what time. I like to ease gradually into knowing what time it is.
If I'm at a show and I ask people, I'm like, what day is it? And people answer, I'm like, I didn't want that.
I know. I hate to know what day it is.
And Rachel, could never be mad at you. I'm so honored you did the pod. You have such a rich, exciting life. And I learned so much about stuff that I never knew about. And you're just so funny and kind. Thank you for doing the pod.
Thank you. You guys are the best. I just am so glad I came here.
You yeah.
Just...
Are you mad at us? You're allowed to be mad at us that it was 10 a.m.
Not anymore. Are no, you sure? I had so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't lie.
No, I was
on the way over. I was ticking mad, I tell you. That's when I was building my speech when I was saying you don't know who my father is. Yeah. Even though he in no way has anything to do with the situation.
I bet your father can ruin my life. Most people could.
It wouldn't take much.
It's a tower of cards you can simply topple over. It's a good thing to say,
like when anybody asks you for any additional information, reasonable information.
Do you know who my father is? You actually look identical to my best friend growing up's older sister. And there's a special relationship between a gay boy and his best friend's growing up older sister. And I feel connected for that reason.
What was her name?
Allison.
So it's not her?
No.
Okay.
Unless... Black Mirror. It was Allison the whole time.
Maybe it was Black Mirror. Okay, right. Now before we go, do you think you want to plug? Tell people about anything you're excited about?
I do. Okay, there's this thing called Hotel Tonight at this app, and I did some advertisements for them and stuff. And basically, you can get a hotel that night, and you just open up the app and you get a cheap hotel, and it's good for people like me who have. You know, aggressive ADD, high strains of ADD.
aggressive strains.
toxic. breeding incurable. ADD strain. Incurable. Yeah. Code red. Yeah. It's like you can
life
just
threatening.
Get
last
minute, like, nice stuff, you know.
Terminal ADD.
You can stay at places that are very fancy and high end.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm, yeah.
High end.
I love the high end. As opposed to the low.
My mom would say high end. These are like phrases my mom would say high end. Like it's very high end or like well off. She's very well off.
Yeah.
I like to start that rumor about people like he's well off or like he comes from money.
Yeah.
I just like to whisper that when somebody leaves an elevator.
Oh my God. One of my other brothers told my mom that my oldest brother was in Hoboken bedding yesterday. And I was like, Patrick, Terrence is in Hoboken bedding. Do people do that? People go to Hoboken and bed? I'm like, Mom, I've never been to Hoboken. I don't know.
What's bedding?
I don't know. I don't know.
Betting?
Betting. Yeah. He went to Hoboken to bet.
To bet on something?
Oh, yeah. He's saying like he bets on the races.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
She also always says that my youngest sister's in college right now, and she's always telling us that she's in a rigorous program. Like that's her catchphrase. And I was like, Grace is in a very rigorous program, not like you guys did.
I'm obsessed. Yes, Grace. Slay. Okay. Thank you for listening. Like and subscribe.
If it's safe for you to do so.
Oh my God. Actually, I think that today is the day. That they're announcing our live pod.
Oh, yes.
Which is on, and I'll tell you.
January 11th. You told me last night.
It's on January 11th. And the Eventbrite's up. The Eventbrite is up. Steak Treatment, Brooklyn.
Oh, the Eventbrite's up.
Oh, wait. Is this the right thing?
It doesn't matter because this will come out in truly 6 weeks.
I'm literally so sorry. It's at the Bell House on January 11th. Okay, love you.
Bye, bye.
Thank you for listening. Forever Dog.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.